Hillary, certainly. And then we're going to talk about Iraq. You know, I feel we have no reason to fight in Iraq. I mean, they took over the Sunni Triangle. That's because we left there. We didn't even leave a contingent force behind to protect the oil fields or protect our contractors, because Obama wanted a cut and run to satisfy the Occupy movement that is behind this campaign, to satisfy the code stinko women. Who have you not been hearing from them lately? Have you heard of the code pink women? Where have they gone? They certainly haven't all died, have they? The ones who would stink up Congress every few months with their lousy protests. Well, they're not saying anything because he's cut and run the way they want him to. So he's appeased them with the Iraq situation. But take a guess who's pushing Obama to get American troops back. Now, of course, as you know, he announced last night after I went off the air that he's sending troops back, boots on the ground. Now, Friday when I was on the air, remember he said no boots on the ground? Raise your hand in the audience if you remember Michael Savage saying on Friday, right here in front of this large audience, that when he said no troops on the ground in Iraq, I said, well, he's against it today. I wonder how long it's going to take for him to be for it tomorrow. Raise your hand if you remember that. Thank you very much. The whole audience raised their hand. I make believe that. I make believe I'm in an auditorium, like the Yankee Stadium, and everyone raised their hand in the auditorium. I said, yeah, Mike, I remember you said that he was against boots on the ground until he'll be for him. Well, now he's for him. So now he's sending a protective force, and soon he'll have to send the force to protect the protective force when they get surrounded and cut off by the cutthroats and dirty nightshirts. And then he'll have to send another force to protect the protectors of the protective force. And before long, we have the domino theory of Vietnam all over again. And then, of course, it'll be a good war for the liberals. They'll say Bush got us into it and he had to clean it up. So there's no winning in politics. There's only talk and rubbish. And America's sons die for no reason whatsoever. And yet, who is egging him on to send troops? Not only Code Stinko, but wait a minute. You're going to hear a familiar voice, a whiny liberal voice from New York City, a rich boy's son in clip one. Listen to this now.
He goes on TV today and says this is a strategic crisis for the reasons I'm going to lay out here. We have to do something that no one wants to do, which is to go back in with a lot of air power and with special forces and maybe a few conventional troops to help stabilize the situation. We cannot allow an Al-Qaeda-backed group to dominate one part of the Middle East and Iran and Iranian-backed groups to dominate another part of the Middle East. It's an unacceptable threat.
I think that Bill Kristol, who's probably never fired a Daisy BB gun, my suspicion is Bill Kristol is, again, one of those neocons, along with Paul Wolfowitz and the other pack of wolves, who got us into Iraq to begin with by putting out the same narrative in 2003. Here he is again, a guy who probably would have a conniption if there was a backfire in Manhattan while he was walking in the street. If Bill Kristol was going out for souvlaki for lunch, let's say, from the Weekly Standard, and a truck backfired, I would suspect he would dive underneath the nearest newsstand and call 911. The same Bill Kristol, who's probably never fired a BB gun in his life, now wants your son to go back to Iraq to die for the military-industrial complex. It's amazing to me that he actually put out a narrative that Mr. Obama should use to go back into Iraq. Isn't it amazing? The guy who would jump from a backfire is now Mr. Gung-Ho. Well, that's the news as I see it. Kristol says we have to go back into Iraq. I have a question, Bill. How come you don't go back into Iraq? You know, in World War II, there were such situations where even Mr. Sarnoff of NBC News, he didn't do actual combat, but he donned a uniform, Bill, and he became a very important general, General Sarnoff of NBC, to help with the war effort. I think he ran some division of the news. I don't know what he did, USO or whatever. I don't know what he ran. News division for the U.S. Army. But he did do it, Bill. You could leave Manhattan. You could leave those tasseled loafers behind, Bill. And you could put boots on the ground, if not in Iraq, well, at least in Washington, and you could help direct the war effort for the Democrats. Because, as you well know, you have no credibility outside of your own magazine's offices. And here I am, sitting and looking, and again, it's happening all over again. The neocons are calling for blood, as they did in 03. They learned nothing from the invasion of Iraq, and they're doing it all over again. We've got Iran now as our ally. Obama now wants to make Iran our ally. As I told you on Friday, this may have been his strategy from day one. And then we have Hillary running from running. And as soon as my show is off the air today, she's going to give an interview on Fox News, which I'm going to watch, because I hope to God Brett Baer does a good job on it. He won't, though. He's too nice a guy. He saves his vitriol for guys like me, and he puts on the tassel loafers for women like her. And at the same time this is all going on, what if 1,000 citizens went to the border with Mexico where the illegal aliens are swimming, flooding into the United States of America, overcrowding our country, destroying our nation, decimating our hospitals and our schools, and they're coming in an avalanche because Obama wants them in this country. What would happen if 1,000 citizens concerned about border enforcement and following the law said enough is enough? If the government won't lead the people have to lead the government. That's an old saying from the 70s. So 1,000 people organized, they go to the border with Mexico and they put up a human barrier and they stop the children and gangbangers who are hiding amongst them from entering our country. What do you think this government would do? What do you think the media would do? Which side do you think they'd take? You know the answer to that. And so those are some of the questions. Iraq, capture of archenemy number one of Benghazi, and my suspicions about it. Iran is our new ally, as I told you, might be the beginning of the new Persia. The Hillary presidential unrun and the illegal border crossing. Those are the topics that we begin with. The phone number is 855-400-7282. On a fresh news day. I know. It's been coming. I don't know why I'm in a Creedence mood. But we're going to play Creedence a little bit today. I have no idea. There's no meaning to it. I don't even know what he's saying. I need a bouncing ball on the bottom. Follow the bouncing ball with the words. I don't know what the song is about. Something about, have you seen the rain? Play it louder. I want to hear this song. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. War's going up in smoke and Obama's golfing. Flew off to golf this weekend. Came back and all of a sudden, like a rabbit out of a hat, they captured the guy behind Benghazi. Last week it was a stunt. When he was asked about Benghazi last week, oh, what Benghazi? It's a stunt by the Republicans. Nothing happened there. Leave me alone. I'm golfing. Hillary. Benghazi. Nothing. It's a stunt. Now, all of a sudden, the commander-in-chief returns from his golfing game on the weekend in California, spewing carbon across the heavens. And all of a sudden, the commander-in-chief has discovered that there was a situation in Iraq, and they captured the mastermind. Yes, indeedy. And now we have troops in Iraq. When he said there would be none on Friday, here they are on Monday. Uh-huh. And, of course, you know my position, which is that we don't belong there at all. Who does belong there? Who should be fighting the Sunnis in the Sunni Triangle? Well, not me. Certainly not you. Bill Kristol should put on a uniform. I'm sure they could fit one to him. They can get a uniform from a dead American soldier, someone who went over from his last desire to see Americans go and fight, and they can get a uniform from a dead American soldier. I'm sure one of the dead American soldiers' uniforms would fit Bill Kristol. Maybe they could let the waist out a little bit, and he could go over there and he could direct something, I mean, propaganda or something about how important it is to die for the Sunnis, or for the Shia, sorry, whatever it is. Hell no, we won't go. Hell no, we won't go. We have no obligation to do it. Oh, and by the way, a little side note that I don't think anyone's mentioned yet. Perhaps they have. The weapons that are being seized by the murderers in dirty nightshirts from the Sunni Triangle, our weapons, AK-47s, which we provided to our good friends, the Shia, who threw them down in the field and ran away screaming, tanks and everything. 25% of those weapons are going to their friends in Syria fighting Assad. So congratulations, John McCain! John McCain wins the prize because he's got what he wanted. He said we should arm the rebels in Syria. Well, I guess the rebels in Syria invaded Iraq and took the weapons like McCain wanted. Great going, John. You got what you wanted. Your boys in Syria, your rebels, now have all the weapons they've dreamed of, except for helicopters and airplanes, but maybe they can march on to Baghdad and get the planes and the tanks. And then you'll really be happy, John. You will have done your job for God knows who. So it's McCain's army. I call the boys in the Sunni Triangle who are cutting off heads, massacring the Shia troops from Iraq. I call them McCain's boys because those are the guys that I think the entire Democrat establishment has wanted to arm for a while now. In fact, if you want to look at this a little more closely, if it's not too much for you to carry in your head on this summer day, There are many of us who think that the killing of Chris Stevens, the ambassador to Libya in Benghazi, was a cover-up to cover up the fact that he was transferring arms from Libya to these very same rebels in Syria. I know that's too much for you to handle when it's a day of hot dogs and baseball or whatever people are doing today, and there's a lot of things to do in the world other than pay attention to international affairs. I know when I was 15 or 16, I could care less about international events. And the average American is about 13, although today maybe 9. I'd say the average mind of the average American is 8 to 9 years old. About the age of the illegal aliens coming in from Guatemala is the average intellect of the average American out there. You know, take me out to the ball game, who's showed her behind on Instagram with a girlfriend, who's become a lesbian today. I mean, that's the 9-year-old mentality of America. They could care less about Iraq. They don't even know what it is. If you say Iraq, they think they're talking about a body part, and somehow someone's got something on them. You said to the average woman, 20-year-old in America, Iraq, she'd say, who's Iraq? What do you mean, Iraq? Am I Iraq? No, not your Iraq, Iraq. Are you talking about my Iraq? Are you insulting me? No, we're talking about Iraq. Well, you don't say Iraq, you say my Iraq. You know, you really ought to study a little more English, she would say. She doesn't know what Iraq is from Iraq. She doesn't know Iraq from Iraq a lamb. So that's the world we're living in. And as you can see, I'm in a somewhat cynical, mirthful mood because I'm a champion for America's borders, language, and culture. And what I care about is the slew of humanity surging over our borders, decimating our schools, our hospitals, and God knows what. Flooding into America to destroy us forever. They're not coming here to work. They're coming here to work the system, you fools. It's Michael Savage. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the...
Where do you go with a show like this? What's the country? Where's the country? Where's America? I woke up one day and it was gone. I looked for America and it wasn't there. Suddenly I was living in Venezuela. Let's hope it's the early days of the Chavez regime in Venezuela and it doesn't become the latter days of Venezuela. Right now it's the early days of Venezuela. They haven't yet seized TV stations because they don't have to. See, the one difference between Obama and Chavez is that Chavez had to seize TV stations because there was opposition to his socialist regime. But since the TV stations are no longer opposing Obama, there's no reason to seize them. What does he have to seize them for if they're putting out his message? That's all. We're worried about Iraq. Meanwhile, the border's being overrun. That's all. That's all. That's why I'm just going to play music and lighten it up a bit. And I'll give you my brilliant insights in the mix because there's nothing else to do. I'd like the killers ever calling me on my cell phone during a show. Who's ever calling me on my cell phone at this time is not my friend. And if they are a friend, I'll never talk to them again. Who could be doing this but to insult me? Whatever. I'd like to get it. You know, I may do this on the air. I may take the call and curse the person out. The phone's in the back of the studio. If it was here, I'd pick it up and say, yes, who is this? I'd embarrass them on the air. Oh, hi, Mike. I'm your good friend. Yeah, well, I'm on the radio. Oh, yeah, right. Forgot about that. So, Crystal says we should go back into Iraq. Where is Crystal now? Is he having hummus somewhere on the Upper East Side? Is it martini time yet? They don't even drink martinis, I don't think. They're all such ninnies. They're on antidepressants. They're afraid of mixing alcohol with antidepressants. That's why they don't drink anymore. They're all in recovery, they say. What recovery? They're all on medication. I don't mean him. I don't know what he does. He looks like a typical pudgy liberal from the Upper East Side. I don't know what they're on. I don't know. It's like Dinner with Andre. Every one of them looks like Dinner with Andre to me. Like boring dinners that have not even, there's not even droll humor. It'd be like having Woody Allen to dinner and realize he's not funny. Just sitting with an old pervert at the table. Wow, I can't wait to go to dinner with Woody Allen, right? And then he shows up, he's just a droll old man looking at your granddaughter. You have to keep your granddaughter in another house if he came to dinner. Guess who's coming to dinner? Bill Kristol and Woody Allen. Oh, yes. I miss New York. That's why I'm saying it. I keep thinking about it. I wake up every morning and I keep thinking I should move back to New York. But it's too late. Now it's too late. I should have bought an apartment. It's like the old joke. Used to hear that in 1985. Did you hear what happened with real estate on 3rd Avenue? Oh, it went up at $65,000 now for a whole apartment. Oh, why don't you buy one now? No, now it's too late. It was $30,000 a month ago. So now it's $5 million for a decent apartment, 3 to 5. You can get very little. Say, I'm not going to buy anything. It's too late. Well, with the inflation that's going on with eggs and fish and meat, the apartment could be like the Weimar Republic tomorrow. What do you think they call real estate for? It's really tied to inflation. What you're seeing in housing in cities like New York, San Francisco, is actually the real peg of inflation that's going on. It's not an anomaly. That's the real estate. That's the real value of money. Your money is becoming so worthless that people want something real, so they buy real estate that has real value. That's what it's about. It's always been true. That's why in the Weimar Republic, after World War I, because of reparations that were imposed upon the German people by the League of Nations, they turned a loaf of bread that cost €1 billion. And people were bringing wheelbarrows full of paper money to buy bread. They couldn't believe what was going on. The money, the paper money became valueless. Why? Because the League of Nations illegally and punitively demanded reparations from Germany for World War II, and that's what led to Hitler. Had they not been draconian towards the German people, a lunatic right-wing maniac like Hitler never could have gotten a foothold in German society. But the people were fed up with the unemployment. They were fed up with the liberalism. They were fed up with communists beating people up in the streets and controlling the dialogue. They were fed up with all of the attributes of liberalism that we've come to see in this country. And God only knows what could happen in this country tomorrow as a result of the problems we are facing from the psychotics who are running the country into the ground. On that pleasant note, I'll take some calls here on the Savage Nation. I haven't exactly talked myself out. I would say I have talked myself in. And the first call is line number 3, Roberto from Las Vegas on KBET. Roberto, welcome from Las Vegas to the Savage Nation.
I just listened to Univision right before you because I speak Spanish, and they're calling Republicans racist, number one, and number two, that we want segregation. That's from Univision. Specifically, they're talking about the Republican senators and congressmen in North Carolina, but anybody...
Yeah, but who pays attention to Univision? It's a racist network. Everybody knows that. It panders to the lowest common denominator. It stirs up hatred between the races. So why would I pay attention to Univision? To me, Univision and Al Jazeera belong in the same place.
Yeah, I agree.
It's good to know, because I think that Hillary gave some interviews on Univision. I know she gave interviews in Al Jazeera. She called it a real news network when it first came into America. Oh, yeah, we have the tape. Hillary said, this is real news, Al Jazeera. So I'm sure she approves of Univision. They wouldn't ask her any serious questions about her tenure as Secretary of Hate. Thank you very much. I mean, Univision would ask her nice questions about illegal immigrants and how important it is for every American to adopt several. Fayetteville, North Carolina, Joe on WFNC Radio. Welcome to the big national Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. And it's the first time I've been on your show. I've been listening to you 10 years. Okay.
10 years?
Yeah, I don't know. Just bring it on, but I got on.
Wait a minute. But you've listened in Fayetteville or in another city?
No, in Fayetteville. I've been listening to you.
Unbelievable. It just shows you. You meet friends you never know you had. So what's on your mind today, Joe?
Okay, look, the thing is, they had the Ukraine situation, and Democratic government needed our help. We don't want to help them. Now we got this dictator that killed a lot of Sunnis, and the American administration told him not to do that 2 years ago, and now he's crying for our help. So we're going to help a dictator in Baghdad, but we should help the Democratic government in Ukraine. It baffled me.
Well, you know, you make a very good point. People don't know Karzai was a butcher towards the Sunnis, and he also stopped paying the soldiers in his own army who were of Sunni orientation, because he just stopped paying them. He wouldn't even pay them, even though they helped overthrow the terrorists in his country. So he committed one insult and one crime against the Sunnis after another, so they rose up against him.
I think that's what, just like you just said, in Germany they got fed up with all these things, and the Sunnis got fed up, and right now I think the Sunnis are fighting they don't have nothing to lose.
You know, I can't pay much attention between the Sunnis and the Shiites. I could care less, frankly. They mean nothing to me. What do I care about an ancient hatred between Sunnis and Shiites? Does that mean anything to you as an American?
No.
Truthfully, do you really care what the Sunnis think or what the Shiites think of the Sunnis or what the Sunnis think of the Shiites? Why should that matter to Americans, some ancient tribal religious war? Why should that matter? But I want to, by the way, thanks for listening for 10 years. I want to point something out that I touched on Monday on the Savage Nation. I may have shocked you. The Shia branch of Islam was originally not even a religious branch of Islam. It was a strictly political party. And what you must understand is that for many Muslims, it is not a religion. It is a political organization. And if we don't wake up to the fact that religion is being used as a Trojan horse to undermine us from within, we'll never, ever survive as a nation. That's if there's any chance to survive at all. But I don't want to go down that road of we can't survive. I really can't go there. I just don't want to go there. 855-400-7282. Lois Lerner is like the Superman show. We know she belongs in the slammer. IRS knew for months of lost Lerner emails. More documents are missing. You know, this happens in a third world banana republic, let's say in Africa. Somewhere in Africa, a government would say we lost the emails when they have a scandal like this. Republican lawmakers are now claiming that the IRS knew for months they had lost a massive trove of emails from embattled lying ex-IRS official Lois Lerner, who belongs in prison, in my opinion, but kept it secret until recently. Allegations are now surfacing that records from six other IRS workers appear to have vanished as well. Something that would occur in the Soviet Union is now being done under this superb, honest, open administration. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, first of all, let's take our hats off to our special forces, always available to a demagogue whenever needed. And apparently the demagogue in the White House needed the special forces today after putting them down last week, suddenly discovered he needed them to get his bacon out of the fire. Because now that Iraq blew up in his face because he cut and run, suddenly Obama has a message that the long arm of Daddy Longlegs will reach you. And I guess they have. I don't know where Hillary Clinton is on Iraq. Well, let's have clip two. Let's see where Hillary Clinton is on Iraq.
I would not support any action unless there was a very clear understanding of what Maliki right. would or wouldn't do, who was running the army, and what third parties were going to be involved.
What did she just say? She said she would not support unless, and the unless is a Clintonian hanging participle. That's like a hanging shad. That opens up the door to anything that she wants it to be. How do you develop a mind with such an ability to say something and say nothing and make it sound like you're saying something? If I thought the way she did, I wouldn't have a radio show. I would not support any action unless I supported the action. And the only way I wouldn't support the action is if I didn't support the action to begin with. Because once I supported the action after speaking to Prime Minister Malarkey, I certainly would not know who was running in the army and what third parties were going to be involved, so I would know. I definitely would not support any action until I did support that action, because I want to make it very, very clear that I, Hillary Clinton, I'm totally against war unless I'm for war. And I would not support any effort by the United States to back up Malarkey's government unless the conditions we had been asking for a number of years would finally be met in my interpretation. And then, of course, I would be involved with a war effort if that's exactly what the military-industrial complex that would put me in office would like me to do. I'm Hillary Clinton, and I'd like to be your next president. Oh, my goodness. Yes, living well is the best revenge. Living well is the best revenge. Well, it's a mountain of lies out there, and I'm here to try to haul the garbage out with you on a daily basis here on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back to sort through the garbage of politics. Many things to focus on. A big one. I don't know if the biggest one is Iraq. I guess the capture of the big bugaboo terrorist on Benghazi. But what's unique about this is that just last week the president said it was a stunt, that nothing really happened in Benghazi. Hillary said it was a stunt. Kerry said it was a stunt. All of the spokesmouths said it was a stunt. Now all of a sudden, Obama's crowing about capturing the man behind the stunt, and that the long arm of the law will get you, no matter where you are. I wonder where they're going to try him. He's on the way back right now. Apparently they're flying him first class. They're treating him better than American soldiers that were still in Fort Leavenworth, by the way. You don't understand this. You want me to get really upset? I get upset for you for a minute. I'll give you my minute of anger, but I'm not going to get angry. Remember Lieutenant Pehenna, who was unfairly convicted of killing an Iraqi who had set off a roadside bomb and killed his platoon members, and then they captured this guy, and then his higher-ups forced them to release the terrorist, saying he was innocent. But then to add insult to injury and make sure something bad happened, his commanding officer insisted that Lieutenant Behenna drive the terrorist who they just released back to his village. In the car, a struggle ensued. Lieutenant Behan had to defend himself, and he shot the guy. He was given 10 years by our own government, and this happened under George Bush, remember? Well, I raised hell on this show. We raised money for him. He just got paroled. After 5 years, they broke this guy in jail. And he wouldn't stop talking about the other men unfairly accused by our administration and that of the previous administration who was still in Fort Leavenworth and other prisons. Marines, in other words, who went over there with the guts to face these throwback monsters in dirty nightshirts and shoot it out with them. When they did their job a little too well, Bush and now Obama throws them in jail. And so if you look at how prisoners have been housed at, I almost said Benghazi, at Guantanamo in Cuba, you'll find out that they're treated better than our own soldiers are at Fort Leavenworth. I'm telling you the truth. Our Marines and our soldiers who were locked up by this government in Fort Leavenworth for doing their job a little too well in Iraq and Afghanistan are not treated as well as the Muslim throat cutters are in Guantanamo. And if we can trade five of those throwbacks for one deserter, why don't we just release all of the men unfairly accused who are rotting in jails in the United States of America today, in military prisons. Release them all. Give them amnesty, Mr. Obama.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7222.
Neocons in the military-industrial complex. I mean, K Street, are you kidding? Are you? I mean, they just got, they just had the best feeling they've had in years, the thought of another war. But my opinion is it's their war, not ours, and I'll tell you who should be fighting it, not us. Not one American troop should die for this. The people who should be fighting this are the Saudis. They have a significant air force and military. When have they last lifted a finger? I mean, they're Sunnis. Why don't they send an air force in against the Shiites? Well, it's because the Sunnis are overrunning Iraq, so they're very happy. That's why. Okay, so let's rule out the Saudis who love the invasion of Iraq by the Sunnis. Okay, so not the Saudis because they're Sunnis as well. All right, so then who do you have left? Well, the Pakis could do it. Pakistan, they got a powerful military. They should be doing it. Israel should be involved. Why is Israel never fighting? Why? I mean, we're told from the beginning, all those years of justification of all that money sent to Israel was, oh, they're our best friend in the Middle East. If they seize the oil fields and Israel will protect the oil. Well, they're not allowed to, because the minute they do anything, then all the sides of the, all Muslims will hate them. So I guess the Israelis really don't have any need to fight for our interests ever. Even now, when Iraq is threatening to blow up right on their, basically on their border. I mean, Israel's very close to it. Jordan has a significant air force and military, and they're highly trained. Why don't the Jordanians fight? Why don't the French send troops, or the British, or the Italians, or the Germans? Why is it our business? Why must we be the policemen of the world, Mr. Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard? How do you call yourself a conservative at the Weekly Standard when you're such a warmonger? I don't understand it. That's a conservative value, to be a warmonger? When did the Weekly Standard decide that being a conservative means you're a warmonger? I think the opposite is true. At least that's my opinion. Let's take some calls on all of this. WABC in New York, Judy. Judy, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
I'm calling because, once again, even now, but yesterday and many times I've noticed that you really criticize Israel, and I feel unfairly. And I really, ignorant people, I can understand it, but you're so not ignorant, and you're informed, and you know history, so I don't have to tell you anything more. But I want to point a few things out. Israel is not afraid to do anything. They went to, I think it was the Iraqi nuclear reactor. They went out and they destroyed. That would have been very destructive.
Ho, you're absolutely right. That was under whose leadership? Golda Meir, is that correct?
Israel.
Wait, stop, ma'am, stop. Don't yak at me like I'm your ex-husband. We're not in a divorce court. Yes, Israel took out that Iraq nuclear plant, but that was when, in the 1980s? And who was it under? It was under Golda Meir, wasn't it?
It was Israel. But
you're not hearing me. Will you stop and listen for a minute? It was in the 1980s when Golda Meir was the prime minister.
Can you? Who was it under when the Scuds were flying in from Iraq? And it was the United States that told Israel, hold back, restrain, which sometimes takes more strength than when you want to fight back. To hold back when someone's...
Well, I get it. I understand. But I'm tired of hearing the argument that Israel's our greatest ally in the Middle East. What ally? I mean, they should be doing something about the Sunni presence in Iraq, shouldn't they?
Well, Dr. Savage, I want
to... But you're not answering anything. We're having a rational conversation between two intelligent people. Why should Israel not participate in this war against the Sunni insurgency in Iraq?
It's not going to be... doesn't make any sense. Can you see an Israeli Jewish person fighting alongside half the Muslim population? What, are you kidding me?
Oh, so they shouldn't fight at all. It's not their business, but it's our business?
Okay, it's not a matter of business.
Wait. It's not their concern, okay? But it's who? It's America's concern? We should be worried about the Shia and the Sunnis?
But the Jordanians are Muslims. They're all Arabs. They know, if anything is anything, they hate the Jew. You can have a Jewish soldier fight along a Muslim or Arab soldier. It'll never work out.
So, wait, where do you stand on American soldiers fighting in Iraq? Should they be there?
I don't want any American soldiers there.
Because it could be that out of the thousands of American soldiers who may wind up there, some could be Jewish, so your argument would fall apart. So at least you're consistent in saying we shouldn't be there, and I agree with you. We shouldn't be there.
You know what? You're right. But Israelis, for sure, they figure they hate Israel. They don't even know anything about Israel. They're brought up since 4 years old to say, oh, I'm going to be a suicide.
I understand that. They're throwbacks. They're monsters. They're not living in the modern world. I get it. Believe me, I know who they are. They're bloodthirsty murderers, all of them. Let's not paint a pretty picture about it. I've been in the Middle East. I know what those people are like. Okay? I understand all of that. But the fact of the matter is, I don't want to see another American die because the Sunnis, the Shia, what do I care about them? What does it have to do with me?
Yeah, well, you know why? Because you keep ranting and raving about Israel. You really mean about it. And you're not right. You're unfair.
Well, no, you're an obsessive about Israel always being right, and that's not fair.
That's not true. But you know what? What's right is right.
How can Israel be right about everything? How is it possible, if you want to inject Israel into the situation and make Israel suddenly the topic of conversation, why is Israel right about everything? How can Israel be right or wrong? How, you know, Israel right or wrong is still right? That's not right.
No. I'm talking about this point, what you're talking about, okay? They can't. There's political reasons behind it. It would create God knows what. It doesn't make any sense, Dr. Savage.
I'm not sure I agree. They can provide logistic support. It's in their backyard. They probably know more about it than our own intelligence community does. Israel could provide intelligence support, couldn't they?
Probably do even now, Dr. Savage. Who says they don't? You don't know. Then it comes.
Well, as far as I can tell, Israel has no intelligence whatsoever because the Israel of today is not the Israel of Moshe Dayan and Golda Meir. They all got charge accounts in New York City at the Bloomingdale's and Macy's, and it's not the Israel of those days with the gung-ho, with the eye patch, and let's go get them. It's not the movie Munich where they put on dresses and went and killed the bastards who killed the Israeli athletes. It's a new Israel, and the fact of the matter is I'm not so sure they have such great intelligence anymore when you consider that three Jewish boys, 16 years old, were hitching, and they were kidnapped by terrorists, and no one knows where these kids are. So where's the Israeli intelligence on that?
I want to tell you one thing, Dr. Savage. The world has gotten worse and crueler since 9/11, and Israel knows, number one, their biggest responsibility is for the safety of their civilians.
I understand. No, we know all of that, but we're talking about now the so-called intelligence of Israel. Where is Israel's intelligence if they don't know where these 16-year-old kids are?
The size of New Jersey, smaller, and they're surrounded by wolves.
Again, you're repeating like you're reading me from a Hebrew book in the 7th grade. Would you listen to a word I say? Stop giving me the Hallmark card about the noble Israeli already.
They are noble. I'm sorry to tell you, they are.
Oh, you mean every Israeli is noble? When have you last been in Israel?
Listen to me, Dr. Savage.
No, you listen to me. Hey, listen, honey. You listen to me. When were you last in Israel?
I'm trying to think. A few years ago.
Okay, and every Israeli was noble?
You know what?
Everyone who pushed you in front of a vegetable market was noble? Every Russian who pushed you off a bus line was noble? Are you crazy?
Dr. Savage, it's all relative. I'm telling you, have you ever heard of anyone that when Scud missiles or rockets come in flying...
Stop with the Scuds already. I'd rather talk about Scrod than Scuds.
Well, don't be unfair.
I think you know more about Scrod than you do about Scuds, frankly. If I asked you about fish, you could tell me where to get a good piece of Scrod instead of lecturing me on Scuds.
Okay.
Because you're not making any sense. I said to you, stop making all Israelis so noble. It's just not factually possible.
Start up with Israel unfairly. Don't be that way. You're too intelligent for it. I'm serious.
Whatever. Okay. You know what? As my father would say in his market, God rest his soul, he had a sign, don't go away mad, just go away. It's as simple as that. It's 19 minutes after the hour, whatever. If you want to argue now, please don't call about Israel. Get the anti-Semites now. The Nazis suddenly got excited. They awakened from their drug stupor now. They think I'm bashing Jews, which I'm not doing. I'm talking about a bigger topic and a whole different topic entirely. And we can come back and talk about Iraq, your rack, my rack, his rack, the Greece rack, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now.
What is language, culture, the Savage Nation's on the air. I'm a savage. Rondado Chickie's on the air. Rondado,
he has a quiet of.
Rondado,
Michael's always there.
Language, culture, the
Savage Nation's on the air.
Rondado.
Could you believe this is the Earls, one of my early rock and roll favorites? They cut this song for me a number of years ago. Borders, Language, Culture by the Earls. Think about it. I don't think anyone's ever made a song for Obama. If someone did a rock and roll song for Obama, it would be anti-borders, anti-language, anti-culture, Obama. But they did this song for me, the Earls. And they listened to the show. It just shows you America's still alive and well somewhere out there. So when we come back, we have a special guest on, a mystery guest, well, not announced till he's here. And then, of course, after the show's over, you got the big interview on Fox News with Hillary Clinton, with the teddy bear and Scarface. They're going to interview him, and that should be a kick. And I'm sure they'll throw softballs, you know, probably to give her custard to lick on the air. Mrs. Clinton, do you prefer chocolate or vanilla custard on Fox News? Because as you well know, the ownership of the Fox Network is behind you. So would you prefer a vanilla swirl, chocolate, or a strawberry softballs? I mean, could you believe that Diane Sawyer, one of the sorority members of the Hillary Clinton sorority, would actually put her on the spot like that? How does Diane Sawyer all of a sudden break ranks with the Hillary sorority? Why, you know what's coming on Fox News. I mean, they may as well go before the most ignorant man in the history of the media on Fox. I like the guy. I mean, Neil Cavuto's a nice guy, but you know he's a dummy. Nice guy, but, I mean, there's no lights on behind him. There's like the lights are on and no one's home. He would probably ask her what kind of custard she liked and if whatever. So, I mean, I'm going to look forward to it for 5 minutes and then I'll turn it off. I got better things to do this afternoon after the show's over, like take a nap. Which is something I do every and oh, and when the show is over, I eat something, a quick snack, and go to sleep in order to power my energy back. I had a good meal last night. That's why I feel good. It's shocking. That's why the show is average today, because I'm not angry. I'm not hungry. I'm not depressed. I don't have a hangover. And secondly, I mean, what's the point of my eating my heart out? Look at what's going on in the world. Last week it was a stunt of Benghazi. Now this week already it's with somber tones they captured the ringleader, the mastermind. I'm supposed to take any of this seriously? Iraq is melting down because Obama cut and run. And now to cover up for his cut and run philosophy, suddenly sending troops back after saying he wouldn't send troops back. So, you know, you could listen to this and go nuts. I ran into a Christian the other day at the gas pump. And he said to me in a nutshell, he said, you know, if you pay too much attention to politics, even though who I was, he said, you can go crazy from it. I said, okay, well, I'll consider that. Meanwhile, you're pumping gas and I'm driving. But, they brought up Muslims to him. He says, well, a Muslim threatened my life the other day in the farmer's market because I told him about Jesus. I said, oh, that sounds about right. It's a very tolerant religion, by and large. He says, no, all I did was mention Jesus. And he said, you better watch out. Something's going to happen. Back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about Iraq, the Benghazi capture, Iran, Hillary, the illegal border crossing. You heard my theory that all of a sudden the Benghazi capture, the mastermind. Last week, Obama called it a stunt. That there was nothing to talk about with Benghazi. Now all of a sudden they captured the mastermind. It's all nonsense. I mean, it's very hard to discern what reality is anymore, given the level of lies that are coming out of Washington and the passive nature of the media. It makes it very difficult for people to deconstruct what's going on and make it real. I go on many news sites every day, and one of them is Newsmax. And I have for years, and the man who created Newsmax is Chris Ruddy, and he joins us right now on the Savage Nation. Chris, welcome to the program.
Michael, always great to be on with you.
Now, you're here to talk about your new TV network, your new TV network.
Hard to believe, but true, yes. Newsmax.
What exactly is your TV network going to be? More conservative than Fox or less conservative?
Well, I don't want to put it in a left-right paradigm. I think what we're going to be will be different than Fox. What Fox does is great. We all love Fox. But I think there's a general belief there needs to be more conservative voices and more diversity of conservative voices. And imagine going to a supermarket and there's only three brands of cereal on the cereal aisle. You'd ask the manager, why not more cereal? When you consider, Michael, the amount of liberal media outlets in this country, and we only have one conservative-leaning TV network, the country needs more. And the Internet's helped because there's a lot of conservative sites, including SavageNation.com, Newsmax.com, and think about all the radio shows. We're better off because of that. And so we're not out.
Right. I mean, look, Chris, you know I go on Drudge, the Drudge Report. I go WND is my partner on MichaelSavage.com. But Newsmax is in a different kind of world, I think, than the others in some ways. I would say that over the years, you're a real newsman. I think people should know that. You started as a reporter, didn't you?
I did. I started in the New York Post, of all places, and then was at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review for many years.
And I think that what you want to do is remind people that in many ways you're still a newsman. I think that's important to say. And I think that your site is more neutral than it is conservative in some ways. I'm not trying to degrade it in any way.
No, well, I said to USA Today, did a story this week about us, and I said, I don't get up in the morning thinking about our political messaging. I don't think about how we're going to tell people what to think or how to think. I'm thinking about providing them information on all sorts of things and giving them both sides of a view on it. And that comes from my news experience. And, you know, a lot of people...
So let me throw you a news story. I wake up today and find out Obama captured the mastermind, the special forces did. And I was joking today, Chris, on the show. The last week, Obama was calling Benghazi a stunt. Hillary was calling Benghazi a stunt. Now all of a sudden they changed their tune, and all of a sudden they caught the mastermind, and it's discussed with such somber tones. I mean, you have to be cynical about this sudden capture, given that Iraq blew up in Obama's face. Wouldn't you say there's a connection?
Well, what I think is amazing is that we've had people in the major media say that nobody should talk about Benghazi. They actually say, and if you watch the major TV networks, they hardly give it any airtime. CNN has said publicly that they're not really going to cover the story. Obviously, it's something that should be covered. Congress is taking a look at it. They're even appointing a select committee, which is very rare. And I think it's one of the reasons Newsmax TV is going to have success and why we've, as you know, we launched this week on DirecTV and Dish. We're in 35 million U.S. homes. It's twice as big as the launch of Fox News when it started in the 90s. People can tune in right now and watch our channel and make their own opinion and learn the news they're not...
I have to say, Chris, thank you for having me on. Every time I've had a book come out, you've had me on Newsmax TV. You have had me on for other topics as well. And yet I have been banned and blackballed by Fox News from day one. Did you know that?
I was not aware of that.
Well, no, actually, that's not true. Back in 02 and 03... Hannity and, O'Reilly used to vie who would get me because they knew my audience would boost their ratings for that night. And then suddenly a blacklist was created. I am not permitted on Fox News. I don't know if you know that.
Well, you know, my view has always been, and I've always liked you personally. I knew you before I even started Newsmax when you were at KSFO in San Francisco. Then the number one drive time host, not only... In the Bay Area, but across the country, in the traffic you were pulling, and you know, you always had. I don't agree with everything you say, and you don't agree with everything I say. But we both appreciate that you're candid and honest about issues, and you're giving the public some point of view that they're not hearing from the mainstream media.
So what is the Newsmax TV going to be? I mean, you're on the Internet. You're not on regular channels. It's like Fox is on Fox News channel, right?
Well, so, we're actually on now DirecTV channel 349, just like Fox is on one of the channels there. You tune in right now to 349 on Direct, you get us. Or channel 223 on Dish, 223 there. You can download our free app on an iPhone or Android and watch Newsmax on your smartphone right now. So we're all over the place.
Well, I have some bad news for you, though, Chris. I know we talked about you having Teddy on doing a regular show, my dog, but his agent is holding out for such a high price, I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I think CNN will offer him a lot of money because they're looking to do something different, and they really haven't gotten the dog audience yet.
Well, remember what one of the Roman Caesars did when he took out one of the senators and put a horse in his seat.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and horse.
Was that Caligula when he said the horses makes as much sense?
Well, you're old enough to remember there used to be a TV show about a horse. So,
which, Francis the Talking Mule?
Yeah, the horse.
Well, Chris, when will we hear who you have on your network?
Well, we're announcing the full programming is going to be developed over the summer into the fall. We just announced one signing this week. Alan Dershowitz, of all people, is going to be doing a special legal program called You and the Law with Alan Dershowitz. It's starting this week. Again, Alan's a guy that I disagree with most of his positions on things, but I respect him. I think he's smart and interesting, and when it comes to the law, I don't think there's anyone better. And so,
well, he's not one of my favorite people, but so what? That makes the world an interesting place to have people who pretend to be one thing and really are another. So who's going to do your conservative talk on your show, on your network?
Well, we're going to have a whole bunch of people, and we certainly like to have Michael Savage coming on fairly frequently. I think you're overdue for being on television. I know you love radio, and that's where your heart is, but I think you're a powerful voice that needs to be out there. J.D. Hayworth, the former U.S. congressman, has been anchoring for us in the mornings, doing a stand-up job, a tremendous job. We have a fellow named Ed Berliner, who's a former host at Sports Network, and he's giving some really interesting analyses of the news during the day. We're getting a lot of famous people. Andy Card, the former chief of staff to President Bush, was on yesterday. John Sununu was on yesterday. Daryl Issa was on yesterday. So people, we're having Sheriff Arpaio come on and talk
about... Oh, he's great. Yeah, I like Sheriff Arpaio. Well, look, Chris, you know that I'm interested in seeing what you're doing, and I admire your drive, frankly. You certainly could have, let us say, taking your foot off the gas pedal a while ago, but you seem to be so ambitious, and I admire ambition. And you're building something new, and I hope it does compete with Fox, because I think they've gotten lazy. And Fox today, is as well as they do a good job in some ways, Fox is very much like CNN was 5 years ago.
Look, I've really a mission. I believe the American people need, and the other side of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, they're not getting it from the mainstream media. The profusion of media outlets on the Internet has actually increased the amount of liberal volume and liberal echo chamber. It's not helped conservatives at the end of the day. And they dominate the airwaves. And you're one of the few outlets, Michael, where people get that other side of the story in radio. And we want to add diversity and complement Fox in a lot of ways.
Well, when my book comes out in October, it's going to be Stop the Coming Civil War. I've been working on it for over a year. It's going to be my last big nonfiction book, Chris. And truthfully, that I'm putting everything behind that. That's going to be it, because I think we're at such a point almost of no return in the country. And I believe the government is so demonic in some ways. I know you don't believe this. You don't profess this. I think that they would love to see some kind of crisis created in order to seize even more power, and that's what the book is all about.
Well, I don't know about a crisis. We know that government keeps taking more and more power, and every time there's a problem that they actually cause, like the financial crisis, they take more power. Or, you know, even if 9/11 was due to lack of security by the government, and they've taken more power as a failure on the government to protect us, and they've taken more power as a result of that. And I think all of that needs to be looked at and examined by the public in the public square and debated. And that's what's missing from the dynamic here.
You know, just a quick note, the influx, the flood, the human tide of immigrant children that's being brought in by the Obama administration on purpose to overpower our systems. You're covering it today on Newsmax TV on the infections, scabies, chickenpox, MRSA. Staph, lice, cholera, malaria, digestive tract illnesses are coming in with these children. I don't understand what kind of nation would permit this to happen. I don't understand it, Chris.
Think about this, Michael. When you and I go to the airport, they practically make us disrobe to get on an airplane. It's such a hassle. We've all experienced this, right? Any drug dealer or terrorist can walk across, let alone children, okay? Forget about children. Any terrorist can come in across the border at any time. It's ridiculous. It's preposterous. And for a great nation not to secure its border, And again, here's a story you're not going to find often on, it's not going to be top of the news. They're not even going to discuss it on the nightly news tonight with Brian Williams. It's just not going to be discussed. So,
well, years ago, Chris, when I was a graduate student, I tried to write a book called Immigrants and Epidemics. And this was after a whole slew of books that I had published. Not one New York publisher would touch it for fear of, you know, violating some political codes. But here we are again. The Border Patrol is screaming bloody murder about these staph infections, lice, cholera, malaria, digestive tract, even malaria is being brought in by these children. I don't understand how there cannot be an uprising over this alone, but let's not get too excited over this right now. I had you on because I did want to announce to my listeners that Newsmax TV has now gone, let's say, global on Dish TV. What's the channel again if they want to watch it?
Dish TV channel 223. DirecTV channel 349.
And it's a 24-hour signal?
24/7. You can watch us at any time. We're just like the rest of the news channels out there.
So I could do a whole overnight show, like from midnight to 6 in the morning. I could sit with
call it late night.
A late night, like Long John Silver. I could do a Long John Silver television show.
You would be really good at that.
I'm insomniac anyway. What's the point? All I'm doing is either watching television or worrying about the world.
A dark room with a nice bottle of whiskey and you talk.
Now you're talking. Now you're talking with Teddy snoozing by the fireplace. What a show that would be.
Well, that might be a little boring, but having you on, I'm sure, would be interesting.
Chris Ruddy, good luck with Newsmax around the world. I thank you very much for being with us on the Savage Nation. It is now 49, almost 50 minutes after the hour, running a little late. When I come back, all the news headlines right here on the Savage Nation. It is the Savage Nation. We have very little time left in this hour. I got to play the call of the day from yesterday. If you missed this, you won't believe this. It's a call that came out of nowhere, and I've never heard anything as vile in 20 years in radio. Listen to this. It's amazing. Keisha, WMAL in Washington, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, glad to be on. Dr. Savage, I applaud you. Thank you for finally letting me on. And I just want to say, yes, you finally know your place. As a European in America, you finally know your place beneath an African American.
Sounding like a race. Keisha, do you actually believe that you sound intelligent and noble, or do you sound like a racist?
The immigration policy.
Keisha, stop. Keisha, you sound like a racist pig. Do you understand that?
Oh, same to you. And thank you for...
Keisha, how far did you go in school? Was it the second or third grade?
And get all the information.
Keisha, how far did you go in school? Was it the second or third grade?
How long did your mama go to school?
Keisha, how long did you go to school? Two, 3 years?
That's right.
Can you write more than can you write and spell more than 150 words of English? You have no idea what you just said. You are so ignorant. You're such a racist pig. You don't even know what you just said.
So,
that shows you what kind of audience there is out there, from the ridiculous to the sublime. Here's a woman says, you finally know your place. The European American is beneath the African American. And the reason I chose to replay that is for you to understand the deep elements of racism that still exist in this country, and that these racist elements are not limited to any particular race. And you have to understand that, and it's time to stop apologizing for your feelings, and stop apologizing for what went on in the past. And stop letting people who are really diehard racists get the best of you. It's as simple as that. And the reason I played it is because the reason Obama and La Raza are getting away with flooding America with illegal aliens against the laws of the land, against the Homeland Security laws, is because they're very clever. They're using children as a Trojan horse to bring in as many of these illegals as they want, without so much as a peep coming back from the American people, for fear that they'll be called racist. But let me ask you something. Isn't it racist to invade another country? Isn't it racist to invade another country with diseased children? Isn't it racist to invade another country and demand that they provide education, medication, and housing for your children? Isn't it racist to attack a nation through a Trojan horde, with a Trojan horse method such as this? compassion for children? I think so. And I have no idea why a citizen army has not yet gone to the border. I'm going to repeat that. A citizen army of 1,000 people on the border, unarmed, could stop this horde from coming into this country. But I dare say that this illegitimate government of ours would probably fire upon the unarmed citizens rather than stop the hordes of illegals pouring across our border from Guatemala and El Salvador. That's how sad the times are when our government is taking the side of foreign invaders, not the American citizen.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Oh, now it's you white people. Now it's you white people. Boy, your racism is pouring out of you like pus.
Even if you're all over...
Ira, the racism is pouring out of you like pus. You better put a Band-Aid on that wound.
True. It's true.
Ira, the hatred coming out of you is like a sore that's opening up. And maybe it's good for you, but frankly, the rest of us are getting infected with your white cells.
I have a right to, and I'm glad to see what's happening.
I'm glad. So you're gonna welcome America melting down and becoming a suburb of Mexico.
Where you white
people. And tell me how the Mexican government treats their poor.
What goes around?
Ira, where are you gonna run for your welfare check if the Mexicans take over this country?
Yeah. You're worried about...
Now, where are you going to get your government handout if the Mexicans take over this country? Do they give welfare in Mexico?
Why are you supposed to be the most powerful country in the world?
See, you won't answer a question. You mean you have no reason, Ira, and it's not pleasant fighting with you because I'm a champion and you're just a Joe Palooka. You're falling all over the mat and you don't even realize it, Ira, and I pity you. And I'm sorry that you are so filled with hatred. But I'm going to have to say that the audience, my audience... deserves better than your pus in their ear. Thanks for calling. So that's it. It just shows you what's going on out there. You see how many people are cheering for the end of America? All the losers. All the losers who are cheering the end of America, not realizing what they're going to inherit. They have no idea what's waiting for them. They assume that their brethren from the third world are somehow better than the European American. They think that somehow their treatment's going to be better when they're in solidarity with their third world compatriots with the tattoos on their necks. Well, I think they ought to take a little trip down to Nogales, Mexico. They ought to take a little trip up into Guadalajara and see how the poor of Mexico are treated before they continue to call for the demise of America. And what's really disturbing to me is that the iras of the audience, while they listen, they don't hear. They didn't hear me talk about the president yesterday as a champion boxer. They didn't hear my appeal to his better nature. They didn't hear my appeal to Obama and my respect for him and his family. They did not see the beautiful picture I put on my website of the president and his family in my appeal because their hatred, their prejudice is so great that they're blind. They're blind. They're like a cyclops walking around in the country. Now, we have an issue of immigrants and epidemics. Many of these so-called children who are surging across the border because they're being invited to do so by the Obama administration, while the IRAs of the world don't understand that, we know it to be a fact, are infected with illnesses that were once eradicated in the United States of America. And I've said this before, that microbes do not discriminate. They don't know if you're black, Indian, white. They have no idea what you are. Microbes are very democratic in that regard. And they will invade your body, whether you're black or white, gay or straight. It doesn't matter what you are. Microbes have no nationality, and they have no prejudice whatsoever. Microbes are not like Ira. They don't see a white man or a black man. They don't see anyone for other than the flesh that they can invade. And so when illnesses are brought across the border because we're not screening these so-called children, who are pouring over the border with illnesses, including malaria, when you get bitten by an Anopheles mosquito, and the Anopheles mosquito injects into your bloodstream the organism that will cause malaria, who would you blame it on then, the white man? You'll come to understand the wisdom of border controls, the wisdom of in inspecting immigrants for diseases, and you come to understand the absolute evil criminality of a government like this that is permitting the invasion of this nation, not only by so many, but so many ill. into this country. And as I if you want to see the article itself, again, I mentioned it earlier, the Border Patrol is reporting the diseases that these, quote, children are bringing across the border. You don't want to hear it because it doesn't fit your agenda. I can't help it. Disease outbreaks. Newsmax has the story. Tens of thousands, if not more. It might be hundreds of thousands before Obama gets through with changing the demographics of America forever. But we're talking about chickenpox, which can affect your child. We're talking about staph infections, lice, cholera, malaria, digestive tract illnesses, and they're breaking out and they're bringing them in. There are many risks from these, quote, children. And also mixed in with these children and their outbreaks of chickenpox, staph infections, and other viruses, which are, by the way, jumping out into the Rio Grande Valley border area. We are starting to see chickenpox, MRSA, staph infections, different viruses, according to Rio Grande Valley Border Patrol agent Chris Cabrera, who told ABC 15 and ABC affiliate in Arizona. There's a scabies outbreak. It's been estimated that 10 to 15% of illegal immigrants apprehended in the area have scabies. When these epidemics affect your child, whether that child be European-American, African-American, or Asian-American, who are you going to blame at that point? You're going to blame me for trying to stop the scourge, or you're going to blame your government, which broke your borders and permitted this invasion? Think very carefully before you start cheering the demise of America, because Obama right now is responsible for breaking our borders with Mexico, and he's using the Trojan horse of children to permit. And I've seen the pictures. They're available, but your newspaper won't publish them. Many, many, many gang members from gangs in Guatemala and El Salvador who are coming in with impunity and laughing at our Border Patrol agents. Do you think they're coming here to work or coming here to work the system? Do you think they're coming here to work or to kill, to steal, to rob, to rape? What are they coming here for? They're not coming here to be your gardener. They're not coming here to be your babysitter. Many of them are coming here to do very terrible things in this country. And they're coming in mixed in with the children. And so think carefully before you sit cheering how wonderful it is. All you IRAs of the world who have such a grievance against this country that you have no idea how hateful you really are. So there I am. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. If you have your own, you can call us at 855-400-7282. Mainly, the big story today is Iraq and how we don't belong there. It's not our business. And the phone number is 855-400-7282. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400.
Savage Nation. Yes, there's blame on both sides of the dummy aisle. McCain, the dummy who doesn't shut his mouth every minute he's on another television show, if you remember, was running hither and yon telling us we had to arm the Syrian rebels. Well, who are the Syrian rebels? I think many of them are now invading Iraq through the Northern Corridor with weapons supplied by McCain's friends. So, you know, there's a lot of blame to go around, and there's nothing I can say about it other than looking in from the outside. It's one man's opinion. I'm only an American observer. I'm a commentator. I've been in the business 20 years, and I'm trained to do this. I do this for a living, and I feel that I know more about it than you may think, given that I study it all the time. This is what I do for a living. It's not a hobby of mine. It's not a secondary hobby. I probably know as much about this as anybody in the country could know about these things without being privy to the actual inside information about who's pulling the strings. And so it's, again, only one man's opinion. If you yourself have an opinion and you care to share it or compete with mine or debate with mine, 855-407-282. Well, let's talk about Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was very similar to Obama in many ways from the same policy point of view, advised by similar lunatics. In his case, it was Brzezinski and others. And Jimmy Carter, being the left-wing fanatic that he was an opponent of the ruler of Iran, as you well know who he was. He thought he was a totally evil right-winger who used his secret police savak to suppress the population, which was all true. Well, the truth, though, is that the leader of Iran at that time was using the secret police to suppress the elements in society that were retrograde, and rightly so, because the minute he was overthrown because of Jimmy Carter, Ayatollah Khomeini came back from exile in London and introduced the toxic virus of radical Islam, not only to Iran, but to the entire world. That we have Jimmy Carter to thank, don't we? For that, we have Jimmy Carter to thank. It was Jimmy Carter who disseminated this virus, maybe inadvertently, but he did so. There's no question whether he did so on purpose or by accident. But it was because he overthrew the Shah of Iran and forced him into exile that he basically created a vacuum of power in Iran, into which Ayatollah Khomeini came back from exile in London and introduced Sharia law and turned Iran back 500 years. He told women they couldn't drive cars. He told women they couldn't teach. He turned Iran back 300 years. Iran was one of the most advanced nations on the planet as it had been historically. That was under the Shah, by the way, a Western-educated gentleman by any means. But here we go again. Now we have Obama making the same mistakes. Again, you know, the road to you-know-where is paved with good intentions. But in this case, I don't even think it's good intentions. I think he and Holder have very bad intentions, frankly, but that's one man's opinion. 855-407-282. The big question of the day is Iraq. There is no really, there's no proof to the fact that Obama meant what he said when he said we're not going to send troops, because that was today, and he was against it before he's for it, very much like John Kerry, and we don't know what tomorrow will bring. The wild card here is Israel. No one's talked about it. But I would not be surprised if you do not see Israeli action in the very near future to stop the surge coming in out of the north. That's because they have the Air Force that could do the job quite willingly and quite quickly. Well, as do we, for that matter. I mean, we have the resources in the area that require almost no forward placement. We have aircraft carriers that could launch on a moment's notice and take care of this in a few hours. The question is whether we... I'm in a Creedence mood, but we're going to play Creedence a little bit today. I have no idea. There's no meaning to it. I don't even know what he's saying. I need a bouncing ball on the bottom. Follow the bouncing ball with the words. I don't know what the song is about. Something about, have you seen the rain? Play it louder. I want to hear this song. I don't even want to talk about it. The world's going up in smoke and Obama's golfing. Flew off to golf this weekend. Came back and all of a sudden, like a rabbit out of a hat, they captured the guy behind Benghazi. Last week it was a stunt. When he was asked about Benghazi last week, oh, what Benghazi? It's a stunt by the Republicans. Nothing happened there. Leave me alone. I'm golfing. Hillary. Benghazi, nothing, it's a stunt. Now all of a sudden the commander-in-chief returns from his golfing game on the weekend in California, spewing carbon across the heavens, and all of a sudden the commander-in-chief has discovered that there was a situation in Iraq, and they captured the mastermind. Yes, indeedy. And now we have troops in Iraq. When he said there would be none on Friday, here they are on Monday. Uh-huh. And, of course, you know my position, which is that we don't belong there at all. Who does belong there? Who should be fighting the Sunnis in the Sunni Triangle? Well, not me. Certainly not you. Bill Kristol should put on a uniform. I'm sure they could fit one to him. They can get a uniform from a dead American soldier, someone who went over from his last desire to see Americans go and fight. And they can get a uniform from a dead American soldier. I'm sure one of the dead American soldiers... uniforms would fit Bill Kristol. Maybe they could let the waist out a little bit. And he could go over there and he could direct something, I mean, propaganda or something about how important it is to die for the Shia, sorry, whatever it is. Hell no, we won't go. Hell no, we won't go. We have no obligation to do it. And by the way, a little side note that I don't think anyone's mentioned yet. Perhaps they have. The weapons that are being seized by the... murderers in dirty nightshirts from the Sunni Triangle, our weapons, AK-47s, which we provided to our good friends, the Shia, who threw them down in the field and ran away screaming, tanks and ever. 25% of those weapons are going to their friends in Syria fighting Assad. So congratulations, John McCain! John McCain wins the prize because he's got what he wanted. He said we should arm the rebels in Syria. Well, I guess the rebels in Syria invaded Iraq and took the weapons like McCain wanted. Great going, John. You got what you wanted. Your boys in Syria, your rebels, now have all the weapons they've dreamed of except for helicopters and airplanes, but maybe they can march on to Baghdad and get the planes and the tanks. And then you'll really be happy, John. You will have done your job for God knows who. So it's McCain's army. I call the boys in the Sunni Triangle who are cutting off heads, massacring the Shia troops from Iraq. I call them McCain's boys because those are the guys that I think the entire Democrat establishment has wanted to arm for a while now. In fact, if you want to look at this a little more closely, if it's not too much for you to carry in your head on this summer day, there are many of us who think that the killing of Chris Stevens, the ambassador to Libya in Benghazi, was a cover-up to cover up the fact that he was transferring arms from Libya to these very same rebels in Syria. I know that's too much for you to handle when it's a day of hot dogs and baseball or whatever people are doing today, and there's a lot of things to do in the world other than pay attention to international affairs. I know when I was 15 or 16, I could care less about international events. And the average American is about 13, although today maybe 9. I'd say the average mind of the average American is 8 to 9 years old, about the age of the illegal aliens coming in from Guatemala. So is this happening by accident, or is it happening on purpose? I know many of you think it's on purpose. I can't accept that it's on purpose. I can't accept that Obama is so demonic that he's bringing in these hardcore gang members to create his own personal, private, civilian army that will be used against the citizenry. As some of you fear, it sounds like right-wing paranoia, but let me tell you something. So much negative has gone on so long under this administration that anything is possible. But I chose to take the other approach. I chose to take the high road. I talked about watching a boxing match, the Cotto boxing match, where the announcer said his opponent could not even touch him. And when the opponent did hit him, Cotto responded with three shots. Every time the other boxer hit him with one or got one through his guard, Cotto was so fast, his hand speed was so quick, that he was able to hit his opponent with three punches. And by the sixth round, the other guy was just basically unable to fight anymore. And I said, wait a minute. A bell went off in my head. I said, our president is like a champion boxer who cannot be touched by his opponents. And I wrote him a letter, and I said, you have outsmarted and outboxed your opponents at every turn. I think they are so blinded by their lust for power. I think they're so blinded by their lust for power that they've been blinded by their victories, not even understanding where their advisors are taking them. And I want to know what you think about that. And I realize that there's certain tones that border on the religious. They border on the religious in many different ways, and I realize that there's a higher nature in myself as well, which wrote that letter. I was in a very steep depression all weekend thinking about this nation, and I stayed in the house most of the weekend watching boxing or, you know, whatever, just mulling the situation in our nation. Most grating to me was not only the fact that the murderers are undoing all of the gains that were made in Iraq with not a note of opposition from the Democrat Party, not a peep from the British, nor the French, nor the Israelis. Again, they want G.I. Joe to go over there and have his legs blown off so the world can be safe for democracy. Well, maybe America's had enough of foreign wars. Maybe it's time for the Germans and the French and the English and the Portuguese and the Italians and the Israelis, yes, the Israelis, to lift their damn behinds up and do something. I am so tired of listening to Israel complain with the most advanced military in the area and never firing a shot. I am so sick of listening to the belly aching and the kvetching of Israel that tomorrow they're going to get the bomb, tomorrow they're going to do this. Let Israel do it. They're sitting in the Middle East. We were sold a bill of goods. That the reason we need to arm Israel is they're our best ally in the Middle East. And if we ever need them, a Sheriff Yitzhak Chaim will come to the aid. Well, it's time for Sheriff Yitzhak Chaim to get off of his prayer shawl and go out and do something about it instead of complaining about it. No, G.I. Joe doesn't want to die anymore for the Middle East. So that's one topic. And there's a lot of vitriol in me because I can't take it anymore. And I know I'm not alone. And I see the children being used as a cover. The children that are breaking into our country illegally. They should be stopped. We should have National Guard on the border. We should have a National Guard and a Citizens Army on that border right now. And say, no! No! You're not coming in our country. You're not coming in my country. We're not taking care of you. We have our own poor. The citizens need to do what the government is not doing. And the Director of Homeland Security is violating the law. By the way, violating the law. They're all breaking the law. They're law breakers, not law makers. They're not law makers. They're law breakers, all of them. They cannot allow hundreds of thousands of illegal alien children to come into this country, and mixed in with them are gangbangers with gang tattoos, according to our Border Patrol. Why are they bringing hardcore gang members in with the Trojan horse of the children from Honduras? Why? Who's doing this? I'm suspicious of every one of their motives. It's all politics. And my suspicion is the following. This could happen. The Obama administration, along with the Hillary team, will have this, quote, terrorist from Benghazi. They'll have him confess that the embassy attack was unplanned, spontaneous, and provoked by the video, the anti-Muslim video. Presto, everyone is clean and clear. Clean skin, all over again, the same narrative. It's a possibility. I don't know that they'll actually do that. But they could do a plea deal with him. They could say to this throwback here, here's the deal. If you come up with the narrative that we've been presenting, the false narrative, that it was all because of an anti-Muslim video, and it was not planned, and it was spontaneous, we'll give you a couple of years, and then we'll release you from Gitmo or from Oklahoma, from Florence, wherever they're going to put him. Florence, Kansas. I don't know where they're going to put the guy. They certainly won't try him in New York. They certainly won't try him in Washington, D.C. They'll probably house him in Oklahoma in some lockup there. They'll give him 3 to 5, and he'll be free to open a grocery in Los Angeles after they let him out, if he comes up with that narrative. And they say, now, if you don't come up with the narrative, if you tell the truth that it was not spontaneous, that it was planned for a long time and had nothing to do with an anti-Muslim video, then you're liable to get the death penalty. So tell me what you think could happen. It's a possibility, that's all. Don't call me on this. What can you say? It's just a suspicion. I'm a suspicious personality. And so that could happen. So this is one topic, the Benghazi capture. Out of the blue, rabbit out of the hat, Sunni triangles on fire, Iraq's being overrun because of Obama's cut-and-run policies, and all of a sudden now he's Mr. Warrior, Mr. Commander-in-Chief with somber tones. Once again, he captured a great leader, another Indian chief, so to speak, captured for the American schmucklick out there. The American, ooh, what a commander-in-chief, look at that. He got Osama bin Laden when the Republican weaklings couldn't, and look at that, he got the guy behind on Benghazi. What a leader this guy is, my God. It makes you proud to be an Amerishman. So do you think the timing is suspect, as I do? Do you think this is aimed to take the heat off Obama and Hillary? Do you think this will help Obama or Hillary? Certainly. And then we're going to talk about Iraq. You know I feel we have no reason to fight in Iraq. I mean, they took over the Sunni Triangle. That's because we left there. We didn't even leave a contingent force behind to protect the oil fields or protect our contractors, because Obama wanted a cut and run to satisfy the Occupy movement that is behind this campaign, to satisfy the Code Stinko women. You've not been hearing from them lately. Have you heard of the Code Pink women? Where have they gone? They certainly haven't all died, have they? The ones who would stink up Congress every few months with their lousy protests? Well, they're not saying anything because he's cut and run the way they want him to. So he's appeased them with the Iraq situation. Take a guess who's pushing Obama to get American troops back. Now, of course, as you know, he announced last night after I went off the air that he's sending troops back, boots on the ground. Now, Friday when I was on the air, remember he said no boots on the ground? Raise your hand in the audience if you remember Michael Savage saying on Friday, right here in front of this large audience, that when he said no troops on the ground in Iraq, I said, well, he's against it today. I wonder how long it's going to take for him to be for it tomorrow. Raise your hand if you remember that. Thank you very much. The whole audience raised their hand. I make believe I'm in an auditorium, like the Yankee Stadium, and everyone raised their hand in the auditorium and said, yeah, Mike, I remember you said that he was against boots on the ground until he'll be for him. Well, now he's for him. So now he's sending a protective force, and soon he'll have to send a force to protect the protective force when they get surrounded and cut off by the cutthroats and dirty nightshirts. And then he'll have to send another force to protect the protectors of the protective force, and before long we have the domino theory of Vietnam all over again. And then, of course, it'll be a good war for the liberals who say Bush got us into it and he had to clean it up. So there's no winning in politics. There's only talk and rubbish, and America's sons die for no reason whatsoever. And yet, who is egging him on to send troops? Not only Code Stinko, but wait a minute. You're going to hear a familiar voice, a whiny liberal voice from New York City, a rich boy's son in clip one. Listen to this now.
He goes on TV today and says, this is a strategic crisis for the reasons I'm going to lay out here. We have to do something that no one wants to do, which is to go back in with a lot of air power and with special forces and maybe a few conventional troops to help stabilize the situation. We cannot allow an Al-Qaeda-backed group to dominate one part of the Middle East and Iran to Iran and Iranian-backed groups to dominate another part of the Middle East. It's an unacceptable threat.
I think that Bill Kristol, who's probably never fired a Daisy BB gun, my suspicion is Bill Kristol is, again, one of those neocons, along with Paul Wolfowitz and the other pack of wolves, who got us into Iraq to begin with by putting out the same narrative in 2003. Here he is again, a guy who probably would have a conniption if there was a backfire in Manhattan while he was walking in the street. If Bill Kristol was going out for souvlaki for lunch, let's say, from the Weekly Standard, and a truck backfired, I would suspect he would dive underneath the nearest newsstand and call 911. The same Bill Kristol, who's probably never fired a BB gun in his life, now wants your son to go back to Iraq to die for the military-industrial complex. It's amazing to me that he actually put out a narrative that Mr. Obama should use to go back into Iraq. Isn't it amazing? The guy who would jump from a backfire is now Mr. Gung-Ho. Well, that's the news. I'll be right back.
Join the savage.
1,000 citizens went to the border with Mexico, where the illegal aliens are swimming, flooding into the United States of America, overcrowding our country, destroying our nation. And they're coming in an avalanche because Obama wants them in this country. What would happen if 1,000 citizens concerned about border enforcement and following the law said enough is enough? If the government won't lead the people have to lead the government. That's an old saying from the 70s. So 1,000 people organized, they go to the border with Mexico. What do you think this government would do? What do you think the media would do? Which side do you think they take? You know the answer to that. Well, as we come to the end of hour number three, my main theme today, or thesis, or my proposal, is that the capture of the Benghazi perpetrator, or one of them, is quite suspicious in sense of its timing. I mean, they knew where he was, right? Why did they wait until now? Well, I'll tell you why. There's a high likelihood, given the duplicity of this administration and the fact that Hillary thinks that she's God and wants to be president, that the Obama administration, in cahoots with the Hillary election team, meaning the Democrat socialist machine that's ruining the country, will have this Benghazi suspect confess that the embassy attack in Benghazi was unplanned. It was spontaneous, and most importantly, it was provoked by the video. In other words, he will repeat the narrative created by the Democrats to get Hillary off the hook. You've not heard that anywhere else, but you just heard it here. We've also talked about Iraq, and that we have no reason to fight in Iraq, and that we gain nothing at all from fighting in Iraq, that it cost us $3 trillion and so many dead and wounded. We talked about Iran, Obama suddenly cozying up to Iran as an ally, after telling us that Iran was placing most of the IEDs in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now they're our allies? That's like doing business with the Nazis. What's that about? We also talked about the illegal border crossing by the hundreds of thousands that are coming in from Central America under the guise of children. Well, let me ask you a question, which is what I asked today. What if 1,000 concerned citizens went to the border and said, no, just go home? Which side do you think the government would take? The side of the American people who are saying enough is enough, we want our border laws enforced, or the side of the illegal aliens? And which side would the media take? I'll let you think about it. Well, infidels, you've given me 15 minutes and I've given you America. Good night and God bless America.